How do you measure the success of your employer brand efforts? Maybe you just notice more smiles on people's faces, so you feel like your work is justified. Or maybe you are on best places to work lists and feel awarded for your hard work. Well, we prefer the hard numbers. The Employer Brand Index helps you calculate the return on investment of your employer brand, and in turn, validates the work you are doing to your organization. Having a great employer brand means you have to offer a great candidate experience, employee experience, and even alumni experience. When you use insights from our Employer Brand Index, you can take action and move the needle. Want to know more? Just get in touch. Go to employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, son, Cerveson. It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends here at Link Humans, fine purveyors of employer brand insights of the data-driven variety, I must add. This week, we are talking to a company which LinkedIn tells me was founded in 1792. So that's been going for a while. Now, employer brand, I think more like 3 years, but we get to learn about how it was set up and how the team has grown and how they're doing amazing things at this health insurance company. So let's start the show. Hey, Ashley, how's it going?
Wonderful. Good morning from Bridgewater, New Jersey. That's where I am right now.
Good afternoon from London, England. So, Ashley, please introduce yourself to our podcast listeners.
Absolutely. So my name is Ashley Charettis, and I have the distinct pleasure of leading employer brand and recruitment marketing for Cigna.
Fantastic. Now, my first question is, I have some understanding, but what exactly is Cigna?
It's a great question. It's a loaded question, and we'll talk more about that in a couple minutes. So Cigna is a global health service company. My team and I are responsible for really creating the marketing campaigns to attract 20,000 new hires per year and across 15 countries. So you may actually know us if you have Cigna insurance. We offer various Cigna insurances. Globally, we are also a licensee model depending on where you are in the world. So it may not say Cigna. It may be Cigna colors. It really depends on where you are in the world. Also, what I will share is we acquired Express Scripts back in 2018. It was literally just before 2019 started. I think it was December of 2018. And you may know Express Scripts if they're part of your pharmacy benefit program. That would most likely be in the States.
Got it. All right. So there's some complexities there. What is the complexity around talent? What is the talent challenge that you're faced with? Apart from 20,000 new hires, are there any specific ones that you're struggling with?
Oh, yeah. It's a really great question. I'm going to kind of blanket it a little bit, and we could go deeper as we talk. I mean, I think as a company, tech is a big challenge for us. But what I'll also say is, in a phrase, Cigna is the most well-known unknown company. And I would say the same for Express Scripts. What I mean by that is, even though we are a consumer-facing brand in the States and others, we often are not always top of mind for candidates. And then, and I'm just going to say this, when you throw in the fact that we're technically an insurance company, we're often not considered a desirable industry. And I'm guilty of it too. When I interviewed at Cigna, I was not really sure if the industry was for me. But the other thing, and really what my team's job or even ethos is when it comes to the work that we do, if we can get you through the door virtually or literally in this sense, you'll want to work here. You will really enjoy being here. And that's what we've seen time and time again across the tech industry, across other places for people that are looking for opportunity. It is a company that has the ability to impact millions of lives. We have over 170 million customer and member relationships alone. And so when I think about my job and my team and what we do and how really we're shaping the future of this great company, it's really about telling that story in a compelling way to get discovered by candidates and then also get the hires. And I love that. That's so exciting to me.
Great. Okay. So you mentioned your team. How did the function come about and what is the setup with the team? And can you describe the model?
I'll try to condense this out as much as possible. I think I could spend a half hour on this alone. And I truly feel like it's probably a very similar story to many of your listeners. I started back around the 2017 mark at Cigna. And for about a year and a half, I was the lone wolf of EB at Cigna. I had this joke that I was like the best kept secret of Cigna. People did not know that I exist, literally. I'm not kidding about that. I was literally operating as my own agency. So I did things like market research. I did graphic design. I did writing. I also executed EVP development with PH Creative at the time. And so that was an interesting learning experience. And it was a bit like, as we would say in the States, Groundhog Day, because I did something similar for ADP when I was there. And so after the acquisition of Express Scripts in 2018, our team grew to five, technically six, including myself. And I was selected to lead the team. So that's kind of how it came about. I literally had to apply to get the job, even though I was doing the job. And I was awarded it. And it's been off to the races ever since. So the team itself is responsible for what I'll call lifecycle marketing. We use limited agencies because truthfully, like, it's our job as brand stewards to define the campaigns and then ultimately know how to execute them and measure them too, of course. I'll also put a plug in here and say we also have plans to grow in the coming year. We do have like those typical roles that you'll see in a more traditional marketing team, like a social media person. She's also aligned to our early career hiring as well. So she works on multiple projects for them. We have someone who's responsible for the website, the content for them, the campaigns. We have a content marketing person and my marketing lead is responsible for that. She is kind of, I'll call her like the marketing manager for content. And then we also have someone who's solely dedicated to our operations team hiring. And when I mentioned that we hire and make about 20,000 hires per year, literally about a fourth of that comes from operations. So it really made sense to have someone who's dedicated to that team. And she's kind of like I'll call her a well-rounded marketer and does a number of things, including ad execution, content, email marketing, you know, all of those things.
It's interesting what you said earlier as well about getting people through the door or virtually and get them to see the light and see that Cigna and perhaps the insurance industry is really interesting. Now, I know you have a really strong content strategy for both active and passive job seekers. Could you talk to me about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think one of my biggest challenges or our biggest challenges, even as marketers, right? I'll even just talk about myself is people don't want to be marketed to. And so that especially is true when you're recruiting for really, I guess, unicorn type roles, you know, like data scientists, technologists, all of those people, right? So one of the things that I've challenged my team to do is how do we focus more on the higher end of the funnel? You know, how do we focus on not people who we have, because that's great that we have them and they are aware about us, but how do we make sure that we are in fact attracting people without them even really knowing it, kind of like very stealth, as you would say. And so we do that in a number of ways. One of the biggest ways that we do that, and depending on how large your organization is we actually partner a lot with our PR team and our external comms team, because truthfully, those are the folks that have the relationships with those publications. And you could see your articles in Forbes, and you could see your articles in like a TechCrunch, you know, depending if that's your audience. All of those things really matter. And so that is definitely one of the key ways that we focus on talent attraction that is, I'll call it higher above the funnel. Another option and things that we're doing is, and this is more, you know, I'll even say this a couple times throughout this conversation, traditional inbound marketing. And what that means is we are actually creating content, things like ebooks, downloadable items, things that we will put out into the market and to literally garner leads. And for example, one of the key roles that we hire for is an infusion nurse. For those of you who don't really know what that is, or I'm sure you can guess by the title, but it is a nurse who actually goes to your home and administers IV drugs. And you're by yourself, right? So it's important that we make sure that we have someone who's highly trained, clinical, can think quickly on their feet, all of those things. And they're very hard to find. So what we do know, and we've done some research behind this, what we do know about this infusion nurse is that they are actually coming a lot from an ER area, so like an emergency response area. So what we have done, and we've actually created some ebooks and some content that will make them want to download it. And then we're also, at the same time, distributing that across social media, We're also using our employees as brand ambassadors to share that content. And again, the goal is to get the leads and get that awareness so we are top of mind when they are ready to make a change.
What is the titles of some of these pieces of content or ebooks?
So actually, they're still in development, believe it or not.
Okay.
So we're still working on them. The one in particular is going to be called 5 Ways to Recover from a Shift. Something like that to, again, make sure that we're creating content that is relevant to them, that they'll want to provide their information for. And mm-hmm. we did actually do a whole focus group on making sure that we had the right sort of idea and content.
The cheat sheet to becoming the best infusion nurse in the country or something like that. Yeah. And I've seen also some companies, they will have resume templates for a specific role, which I think attracts a lot of people that do exactly that role. Could be an interesting one.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think it's all about research, right? That's the key part. And that's the one thing that my team does exclusively internally. And, you know, before we start down the path with content, research is a big part of that.
And do you find that certain groups or talent personas like to consume different types of content? So, for instance, does anyone like podcasts versus written content versus video, perhaps?
Yeah. So for us, depending on the type of role, again, and also, I mean, I also think depending on your age, it matters, right?
Yeah.
So in comparison, someone who is looking to be more of a customer service person, we do hire a lot of customer service professionals. I call them more like higher level customer service professionals because it's kind of the same premise. They have to think quickly on their feet, have a lot of computer skills with multitasking and so on and so forth. They are really, from a behavior standpoint, mobile. They spend so much time on their mobile device. And truthfully, like we actually had to do a whole exercise around making sure that the content that we were creating was always mobile optimized versus a nurse, they're okay with more downloadable content. And I've even seen from a channel distribution strategy, like, so if you're most likely, if you're a customer service professional and we're trying to target someone potentially who would be anywhere, like, you know, any certain age, we want to make sure that we're hitting it in all areas. So we'll also do ads on like Facebook and Instagram to make sure that we're getting the older and the younger at the same time.
Nice. Yes. Because I was going to ask you about distribution channels. So you mentioned Facebook, Instagram. Are they the usual places where you attract the attention of talent?
Yeah, it depends on the role, truthfully. Mm-hmm. But I have seen a tremendous improvement with our Facebook campaigns and our Instagram campaigns. We also do, believe it or not, actually, because we focus so much on the starting point, which is research again, in some locations, so I'll give you an example, we were doing a customer service campaign in Scranton, Pennsylvania. That's in the United States. It's a very sort of quiet area. There's not a whole lot going on. There is a big town center, though, which is great. And we have a building
Dunder Mifflin
there. Yeah, right. Yes, like, yes, exactly. I love The Office. That's like a whole thing. But anyway, when it comes to doing that, one of the big key areas and distribution channels we used was print, believe it or not, the Scranton Times. And we would not have known that if we did not ask the folks there, you know, what are your behaviors? What do you read on a regular basis? And I kid you not, we actually got about 20 hires from doing one publication and print placement there. We did the other things, you know, the sexier things like Facebook and Instagram. We did Google AdWords. We also did out of home too. So we did some billboards as well and radio, which is great. But we literally could attribute 20 hires to seeing the print ad, which is pretty huge in my opinion anyway.
Fantastic. This is a really good tip, actually. We have a client who's hiring big time in Pittston, Pennsylvania, which is right next door to Scranton. So I'm going to talk to them about some print media. Great. Thanks for that. Right.
Yep.
Now you've also done, you are doing virtual event marketing, which is super topical right now in a COVID world. Tell us, how does that work?
I'm really excited about this for a number of reasons. I mean, I will say we're definitely not the expert and we're certainly learning as we go. But one of the things that we're focusing on is using our CRM and making sure that we're looking at the leads and we're doing marketing. So typically what we'll do is if the event itself is put on by us, then we will do some marketing around that. We'll use Instagram ads, we'll use Facebook ads. And the one thing that I'm so happy about, and we previously did not have this functionality as a team, was we actually have event landing pages. And I know that that's so silly to get excited about, but I'll be honest and say we didn't have that. So Phenom People is actually our provider, and they are ultimately creating these event pages. We create and we create them ourselves, but they actually help us with the style and things like that. And so once it's in the CMS, we can spin them up as quick as we want. And so with that in particular, what's great about the Phenom platform is we can actually get a number of leads into our CRM without even knowing it. I guess the one thing I do want to mention is for events, we like to make them useful. So kind of like the principle of inbound marketing, let's make sure that the event is useful. In some cases, we do have some exclusivity to the event that we have as well. But typically what we're doing is we're using the CRM, making sure that we're getting candidates in. We notify them, let them know when the event is happening. We also are doing some social awareness as well. So we will, when we do have an event, we actually do share it on social, and then we also put media behind it. And we ask our employees to share it as well, depending on it always depends on the type of event too. But it's been pretty successful. Like, I'll give you an example. Most recently, we participated in Grace Hopper. And yep. For those of you who don't know what Grace Hopper is, it's a very large, literally 20,000 person technology conference. This year was completely virtual. And so what we had to do was really hit the resume database hard, find out the people that we wanted to meet and speak to. And the great part is we sent out two emails, and we actually had a plan to send out more. But within two rounds of doing email marketing, we actually were able to fill up all of our interview slots. And the response was so overwhelming that we actually had to close it down and say hey, I'm so sorry, would love to talk to you, let's stay in contact. We actually had to do a stay in contact campaign, which is pretty interesting. Those are just kind of two ways we go about it, but it truthfully is marketing the event and also making sure that you know who your target audience is. You might want to market something differently if you're going, again, for a nurse versus a customer service professional.
Great. And I'm interested in the content of the actual event as well. Who puts on the event? Do you guys do that? And do you pull in people from the organization and to do Q&A? What's the billing?
So the one that we most recently did, we have a new CIO in place. And mm-hmm. So we did a fireside chat with her. And because of who she is and also from a talent acquisition standpoint, and then also the fact that it was a tech conference, this was for Grace Hopper, we invited all of these folks to come join us. Our response rate, so the number of attendees that we had was 145 people who wanted to learn more about Noelle's career trajectory and how she got here. And she gave some really great advice, and people loved it. It was probably one of our most successful virtual campaigns to date. We had, on the distribution list, we invited about 450 people, and the 145 that attended. I mean, that's pretty substantial. Yeah. I expected a 20% response rate, sort of, or anywhere between 10 and 20. I mean, it was literally a lot more. So that was great.
Great. And I think having a C-level person on the event as well, that's a good start, a great achievement, really. Looks like you've got some really good content strategy, really good event marketing strategy then. So there's a lot going on. What would be your number one tip to our listeners or number of tips so they can emulate this success?
Yeah, so I put some serious brain power against this, I have to say, because good. You want it to be good, right? So I'll give everyone a two for one. So here we go. Mm-hmm. One of the questions that I get all the time is about brand awareness and how it can be measured. And I'm sure there's lots of people who feel me out there. But my favorite way to do this is using Google Trends. So using an example that I shared earlier, so with customer service professionals, for instance, or this could be actually for anyone. If you run a campaign, a local campaign in a particular market, maybe you do mix it up with some radio, some billboards, you do some Facebook ads, maybe even do some Google AdWords. You'll want to measure how people are finding you. You know, they may not always put, your web URL or whatever in there or always remember it. But people are searching all the time. Candidates conduct searches. That's what they do. And they don't always do it on the traditional job boards. They use Google. And so if you go to Google Trends and you search for your brand name and add the word jobs to it. So for instance, in my example, it would be Cigna Jobs. I want to see, you know, how many people Googled that. When you do that, you can see how many people are searching for you. You can also add in other search terms. So maybe you want to put Cigna careers, for instance. You could do that as well, just to see how many people are searching. When I did this, we had some major hiring pushes. This was back last year and the year before that as well. And we compared it to the previous time period. We had a 200% increase in searches during the campaign period. That's the first thing. And then I always like to give a little extra. So the other thing I'll share is I use Google Trends for choosing relevant job titles for roles. And it's great because you can, as I said earlier, you can compare like several different search terms at once to determine which one would be the best fit for your job advert. So there you go. 2 for 1.
Yeah. And I was thinking Cigna is quite a unique name as well. If you are someone like, I don't know, Apple, people will be searching for Apple for all sorts of reasons, I guess.
But that's why you got to add jobs to it. Apple jobs or Apple careers or you can search.
Yeah, true. Okay. I was thinking in terms of fruit, but yeah, you're right. Okay. Fantastic. And so Ashley, you've been with Cigna for 3 years now and you've set up a function and you've built a team. What's next? What are the plans for the next 2 or 3 years?
Well, a couple of things. We are, because of the acquisition with Express Scripts, we are truly redefining what this company looks like. There's a lot of moving parts and pieces. We recently launched a new brand by the name of Evernorth, which a lot of our brands will sit inside of. It's so new, honestly, it's so new that I don't even have all of the information yet. But if anyone Googles Evernorth, check it out. It's from a branding standpoint, it's like such a different color scheme and such a different way of thinking. And it's really kind of meant to be like a B2B brand. So I would say that's probably the next exciting thing, but also challenging, right? Because again, Cigna and Express Scripts, at least in the States and in other places too, it is a consumer facing brand. No one knows what Evernorth is, right? So it's important that we start partnering with our marketing team, making sure we identify not only what they're planning to do so we can accentuate it, but also what are the gaps and what are the things that we can help solve for too? Because the hiring's not going to stop. We're kind of building the ship as it's sailing over here.
Right. So final question for you, Ashley. Where can our listeners connect with yourself and perhaps where can they check out Cigna Careers?
Absolutely. So I'll go with the latter first. So cigna.com/careers. Or if our SEO is working correctly, Cigna Jobs. I would hope so. This is a marketing channel. Come on. And then to connect with me, so I'm on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/in/AshleyShiretis. Or I have my own website too. I'm working on it, so don't hate, but it's AshleyShiretis.com.
Sounds good. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Ashley.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Okay, well, that is it, folks. Be sure to reach out to Ashley, and there'll be a link in the show notes reach out to her, and you can thank her and maybe check out that new website as well. And also, you may want to consider subscribing to this podcast at employerbrandingpodcast.com, or perhaps you found us through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Acast, one of those places. We're everywhere, basically. Now, if you really enjoyed this episode and the podcast in general, why don't you help us out by leaving a review on one of those platforms? That would be most appreciated. Now, how do you measure employer brand? Well, we have developed the Employer Brand Index, which is a way, our methodology of finding out what is being said about your organization in an employment context. The Employer Brand Index is trusted by companies like PepsiCo, Mars, GSK, and they can't all be wrong, can they? If you're ready to establish your index baseline, head on over to employerbrandindex.co or feel free to reach out to me and I'll happily chat it through with you. That was it. Thank you so much for tuning in this week and look forward to catching up next time. Hey-doh!
The best place to hide a dead body is page 2 of a search engine.
Yeah, very good.